So during this season of Lent, although the scripture readings are really rich and profound, I want to focus not so much on the readings week by week, but on this overall theme of the year of mercy that Pope Francis has invited us to be part of. But what does it mean to actually forgive someone? What does it mean to show mercy to someone? And perhaps the easiest way is to first look at, well, what it isn't. What isn't involved in forgiving someone? So mercy is not condoning what happened. So if someone has hurt you in the past, either physically or they have abused you verbally or they've spoken about you, they've gossiped about you, they've embezzled from you, whatever happened there in the past, to forgive them is not saying that what happened back then wasn't a bad thing, wasn't a terrible thing, wasn't an act of absolute evil. So it's not condoning what happened in the past. But it's not also waiting for that person to come to you. As much as you might want them to come and to crawl along the dust on their knees before you, that may never happen. They may never have the courage to be able to apologize to you. So it's not about waiting for them to take the first step. That may never happen. Nor is it about ignoring justice or ignoring the consequences of what they did in that past. You can forgive someone and still build a fence around the property. You can forgive someone and still lock the doors. You can forgive someone and still call the police. You can forgive someone and still go and see your lawyer. You can forgive someone and still report them to the Royal Commission. Forgiveness is not about saying that that doesn't matter, that justice still deserves its day in court. Forgiveness is a different reality to that. Because forgiveness essentially is what happens inside us, inside our hearts, inside our lives. Forgiveness is not saying that nothing happened. It's not pretending that nothing in fact happened back in the day. Sometimes the best thing that we can do is in fact to remember what happened. The forgiveness sometimes can be about remembering the past and bringing it back in order to be able to bring healing into that situation. Reconciliation should be the aim of this process. But again, it's a different thing because reconciliation takes both parties growing and maturing and acknowledging and recognizing the faults and the failures and all the stuff that is happening in each of our lives. Both parties have to be healthy. Both parties have to want reconciliation. Reconciliation certainly within the Christian community should always be the goal, always be the ideal. But we can forgive someone long before that moment of reconciliation happens. And even if reconciliation never happens, we can still forgive someone. You can forgive someone and say, but I still don't want to see them ever again. You can forgive someone and still say, I need to keep that AVO in place. You know, particularly in places of domestic violence, all kinds of relationships that have gone bad. Forgiveness can be still achieved and you never have to see that person again. So you might be thinking, well, I don't really have anybody that I particularly need to forgive. You know, I think in my life, I've kind of lived a pretty sweet and charmed kind of life. In fact, I'm pretty sure that most of the time I'm just giving other people opportunities to forgive. You know, the things that I do and my brash kind of dispersonality and all that sort of stuff. You know, I provide all kinds of opportunities for others to grow in grace and holiness. But when do I need to forgive? There are some kind of key pointers. One of the things, like when you talk to a couple who have been divorced and you're talking to one of the partners and they will always just speak about the ex, you know, or a person who's had a bad situation at work, they will always just talk about that boss, of mine, or a person who's had a bad situation in church, and they will always say, that bleeping priest, you know, that's all kind of sense of that. So if you can't say the person's name, if you always say my sister, my brother, my parent, rather than actually giving them their name, that can often be a really good sign that something has gone wrong. To name someone provides a certain intimacy with them. You know, it provides this sense of being in friendship, of relationship. So not naming them separates us from that process. If their name comes up in a conversation, so you're having dinner with a group of friends and one of them says, oh, I saw Jane last week. And suddenly John is all tensed up and you're just thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen this time? You know, the plate's about to fly. Are we going to have to pay this huge bill at the end to the restaurant for all of the stuff that is just about to get broken? You know, what is about to happen? So if when someone's name comes up, you know, all sorts of stuff happens in your heart, then that's a really good sign that something needs to give in that. If something good happens to that person, you know, you hear they've just had that promotion at work, they've just sold the house and they've made a great and tidy profit, and you can't think anything good. Even though something good has happened, you're just like, damn it, not again. Or when something bad happens to them and silently you're like, yes, fantastic, finally they're beginning to get some comeuppance happening to them. You know, if that is happening again, that's a really good sign that there is a need to forgive. Sometimes there's just this kind of buzz around our hearts. Sometimes it's really quiet. Sometimes it's quite loud and quite noisy. But if there is that kind of static, it's like, you know, almost a case of possession, or there's a ghost of somebody that still just sort of rests on your heart. Sometimes it can fade away, but sometimes that buzz begins to really grow loud and insistent. Again, a great sign. And sometimes you can just blame them for everything that has ever gone wrong in your life. You can kind of think, ah, oh, man, if only I had never met that person. If only I had never fallen in love with them. If only I'd never worked for them. If only I'd never gone to their church. If only I'd never been to that store on that particular day. Whatever the situation, whatever the scenario, if you're just blaming them for all the bad things in your life, again, that's a really good sign that things are not going well and there's this need to forgive. And of course, if you just wish that they would move away, if you wish they'd go to another country, or indeed, if you wish that they were dead, you know, that's a pretty clear sign that something needs to give in our hearts and in our lives in terms of them. What about who do we need to forgive? So often in church, you know, particularly when I'm visiting people in hospital, and you're not really sure where they're at with the church and all of that. And so often they'll say, oh, Father, look, I'm really, you know, upset because, you know, 30 years ago, this priest was just dreadful to me. I was running late that particular Sunday and the priest pointed me out when I walked into church, and in front of my whole family, I just felt so belittled and so small. The problem is, though, that person has now said, you know, I'm never going to church again. And you're like, yeah, but you can't blame the whole institution for the actions of one person. Yet, how often does that happen? This morning after Mass, one of the people was saying he was taking this photo of these two Japanese tourists many years ago, and this old digger was there standing nearby, and he said, you shouldn't have been taking their photo, you should have been cutting off their heads. You know, this sense where we take what happened with one person and we escalate it to a whole nation of people. I mean, how many countries continue to fight today because of what happened way back, you know, generations upon generations before? So forgiveness is never about an institution. It wasn't the church that wronged you. It wasn't that company that wronged you. It wasn't the government that wronged you. It wasn't your whole family that wronged you. It was a particular person, a particular group of people that wronged you. And part of this movement of forgiveness is recognizing that it's not the whole situation, but just that one particular person One of my mates sometimes has this kind of blowout kind of thing, and he'll have a bad situation. You know, an employee will treat him badly, he will claim, and then he will say, you know, I'm never going to visit that company ever again. And he makes me feel bad if I want to go down to JB Hi-Fi or whatever and buy something. And, you know, you just think, no, man, it was just that one person was having an off day and you had an off day and together you had an off experience. Don't blow it out to the whole company and the whole movement. Just remember that it's a particular person. Forgiveness is all about a process. Forgiveness is not something that just happens in an instant. It's about this movement of our hearts and this longing and a desire. If today, you know, you're one step closer to calling the mafia and saying, look, I think I should cancel the contract that I have on that person. I really don't think it's a good idea to kill them this week anyway. You know, that's a good thing. Let's celebrate and claim the victory of that. If today you spend 5 minutes less thinking about, you know, a plotting and harming and what thing you're going to do to try and make that person's life miserable, if it's 5 minutes less, then again, that's a great achievement and a great victory. Claim whatever victory you can. You know, sometimes people have said, forgiveness is making the decision that no longer will that person be able to rent free space in my head. No longer will they be able to claim and rob me of my joy. I will live today in freedom because I've made this decision to release somebody else. Someone else said that not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison yourself and wondering why that damn rat has never died, but I keep drinking the poison myself. Forgiveness is a process. It is a flow. Yesterday when I was down at the beach watching people in Minamara just swimming around, and a lot of people were snorkeling, you know, looking at the fish and whatever. I mean, snorkel's a great thing because it lets you breathe underwater. But what's happening, of course, is that you're not just breathing air into the snorkel. You're not just allowing you to breathe in, but a snorkel only works if you do the other thing, if you also can breathe out. Yes, we can receive mercy and forgiveness from God. We can confess our sins to Him. We can be absolved from our own sins. But unless we also forgive others, then the snorkel doesn't work and our lives don't work. I mean, every day when we pray the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is the flow that we need to live in and grow through. And over the next 4 weeks, we'll walk through some of the steps that this might involve in our lives. And to do this movement and recognize some of the faults and failures and all kinds of things, like how do we process when we're just feeling revenge and wrath and all of these things. Forgiveness is making the decision to set someone free and discovering that the person set free is me. That's what this movement, that's what this journey is all about. So next week, I invite you particularly to bring a Bible with you. We will be looking at a number of passages that are a little bit on the obscure side. They're not part of our lectionary readings. So if you can bring a Bible next week to be part of this process, part of this journey of experiencing the mercy of the Lord.